Welcome to Sports and Wine with Martha and Katie. I'm Katie.
And I'm Martha.
And we're here to talk about sports and maybe educate you a little bit on some wine. We have to stand out in the crowd of the sports broadcasting industry because not a lot of people do this. So we're ready. So we're going to introduce ourselves a little bit so you guys can get to know us. Martha's going to go first.
Hi guys, I'm Martha Crook, and I obviously love tennis, if you know me, for those of you that don't. So tennis is my first passion, and I'm currently boxing right now too, so I'm going to be in the ring hopefully in 6 months' time. But yeah, with tennis, I went to school in the States on a full Division I scholarship, and got teaching at a country club there, certified Tennis Canada Pro, and now just, talking sports and wine with Martha and Katie.
And I'm Katie. I have my BA in communications, and then I went to school for broadcasting, and I love basketball. Basketball is my passion, loved it forever. And I'm really into fitness. I love going to the gym. I worked at a gym. I think everyone needs to watch out for fitness, take care of themselves, make themselves happy, basically.
For sure.
And now I'm talking sports and wine with Martha and Katie.
So let's get this party started.
We're going to start off with tennis. So the first match fixing, then Sharapova. What's next for tennis?
It has not been too good, that's for sure. So first off with the match fixing, that's been going on a while. It's just now that it's been made public. You know, tennis is a sport that's easier than most to fix because it only takes one person. Now, as for the most recent scandal, and that is five-time Grand Slam champion Maria Sharapova admitting to taking the drug Meldonium for 10 years. Now, I'm emphasizing Meldonium because I keep mixing it up. It's a tough name. I've never heard of it before until now, to be honest. And I will tell you, in terms of the players that dope, I'm not shocked that you know they're doing that in tennis. It's just that I was shocked she was one of them. Some of the players on tour, you kind of have a feeling they're doing it. And all the past news in tennis world, it's not making it look good for the integrity of the sport, but I'm not going to say I'm surprised. You know, with match fixing and doping, it was still going on in the sport. It's just now there are more players that have not been caught, and there's more things, more stories that have been made open to the public eye, right?
Yeah. So what's the story here in Sharapova? You mentioned that she used Meldonium. What is that, and how come we've never heard of this drug?
Yeah, Sharapova, she admitted to taking the substance Meldonium, said it was prescribed by her doctor for heart problems. And I am no medical expert, you know, by any means. But from what I know, it's basically an energy efficiency catalyst that increases oxygen uptake. And it enhances stamina and endurance. So one of the reasons we've never heard of something like this before is because it's popular in European countries. And not so much in Canada and the U.S. But I will tell you a fun fact, and that is that apparently the sales of the cheap over-the-counter pills are now on track to double in Russia for March compared to February, according to the drug's manufacturer, Grindex. And so, hey, you know what? If it's good enough for Sharapova, I guess it must be good enough for the average Joe. So, you see, there is at least one thing on the rise, and that is the sales of the drug.
For sure. It kind of sounds like a pre-workout anyways, though. But what do you think about Maria saying she wasn't aware of the drug being banned?
It's definitely nothing more than negligence on her part. You know, I respect Maria as a champion, but at the end of the day, the substance has been banned since January 1st of this year. And to claim you are not aware of this, there's not really an excuse for that. You are one of the best in the business, and everyone knows your name. You're working with the best people beside you. So taking something when you know it is banned is simply negligent.
So the French player Kristina Mladenovic saying that no one really liked her, is that going too far with that? And there's always been stories in the media about tennis women not getting along with each other. Can you talk about that?
To be honest, I feel for Sharapova in the sense that another female tennis player, you know, professional, would say that no one liked her. You know, it kind of sounds a little bit high school. And your thoughts are your own thoughts. I don't think you can speak for all the female players on the tour. Just keep it professional. So I'm a little disappointed in Kristina Mladenovic's comments, because I definitely really like her as a player in person, and just a little disappointed with that. As for women getting along on the tour, I definitely believe the stories. You know, I'm sure it's tough for women on the tour to be friends. Tennis is a very individualistic sport. You have your own team, your team, and you compete against another female pro and her team. Egos are in the mix, drama come into play. And I know personally growing up, you know, I was always more of a tomboy. I preferred always playing tennis with males. And that's more so maybe me and just my personality. I was kind of more always the sarcastic smartass. And if I have that personality out towards the females that I, you know, when I would practice with them, they often took my behavior as being rude. So I can understand that. It's different, you know, kind of the dynamics with women. Unfortunately, if you don't hang outside of tennis with women, they think you don't like them. If you hang out with them too much, it's not good for your competitor to know too much about you. At the end of the day, you know what? I will just say it's the most important thing is to be professional and respectful, and that's it.
And three sponsors have dropped Sharapova. Do you think people are being too hard on her?
At the end of the day, it's a business, and if you're associated with someone who says, I failed my drug test, most people, at the end of the day, that statement is so bold and it's so direct, obviously. They don't want to know the details. It's an automatic negative connotation to it, no matter what. I failed my drug test. So it's a business. These companies, agencies, so forth, they need to help promote their brand in a positive way. And if they feel they can't do that with her, then that's their choice.
What's going to be her consequence for these actions?
At the end of the day, it all depends on her medical records. As I mentioned earlier, she needed this for her heart, or that's something that she mentioned. And if she can defend that statement, then obviously I don't think there's going to be as lengthy of a suspension. However, if she can't back that evidence up, you know, back that up with evidence, then who knows how long it can be. There's already talks of a 4-year ban by the International Tennis Federation. And so at the end of the day, it comes down to her medical records.
Canadians in action. Let's talk a little bit about Eugenie Bouchard and Milos Raonic. Give us the update.
Yeah, so Bouchard obviously has slipped compared to last year. She's not in the top 10 anymore. She's ranked 42. And in the beginning of the year, she obviously mentioned that she doesn't feel as much pressure as she did compared to last year. There's obviously been some great signs for her. She's made the finals of the Hobart Invitational earlier this year. A week ago, she lost to the number 2 seed, Elena Svitolina of Ukraine in Malaysia. And there was a 3-setter loss most recently to Tamia Bashinsky. And this was in Indian Wells, the tournament going on right now. I think she's doing much better so far this year compared to last year. She's more relaxed. But I would say the things that she needs to work on is just making herself mentally stronger to get to that next level, to that next gear. You know, able to handle hard conditions, if there's a rain delay, if there's wind, so forth. So she just needs to implement some more variety in her game, you know, slice, net game, get her opponents out of the rhythm. Just like what we saw when Bashinsky defeated her, Bashinsky was able to get her out of her rhythm at Indian Wells. Now, as for Milos is back. He came back from basically dealing with a torn abductor muscle in a 4-hour marathon match with Andy Murray in the Australian Open a couple months ago, if you remember. And it's nice to see him back on the court. So the Canadian didn't have too many big tests in the beginning. He will have his first big test in the 4th round against number 6 seed Tomas Berdych of Czech Republic at Indian Wells. Now, Raonic had a first round bye. He needed just 55 minutes to dispatch of Inigo Cervantes in the 2nd round. And Monday he played against his friend Bernard Tomic of Australia. And within 36 minutes of play, Tomic retired with an ongoing wrist injury, down 6-2, 3-0. So just good to see him back on the court and hopefully getting some confidence back. The main thing for him is getting match play and being healthy. Now, I am going to go into a different mode, I guess you can say. So this is our kind of segue to lighten things up a little bit. We have a wine of the week. Since our show is called Sports and Wine with Martha and Katie, it's only necessary we leave a little section to talk about wine. So let's do that. Now, just a note of caution, we are unfortunately not allowed to drink wine and talk sports out of respect for our facility. So for all the people that want to get us in trouble for that, you can't. However, once this show takes off, we will surely be drinking wine while recording and talking sports, okay? So now on to the actual wine of the week. This week, Katie and I chose Argento Pinot Grigio from Argentina. Now, we have both tried the wine last Saturday night, and don't worry, it was pretty good. So here's Katie with more.
The wine was actually really good, I found. This elegant Pinot Grigio offers the most delicate aromas of flowers and tropical fruits, so what could really beat that? Light and clean with peach and white pear flavors and a fresh and bright finish. It says that it pairs well with light meat and cheese, so like fish or something like that, but we don't need the food though. We'll just take the wine.
That sounded great. That sounded like a commercial. I'm buying the wine. That's it. That's it. So that's our wine of the week. We're going to do that every week. But now on to some other news. I guess gossip, you can say. Yes. So Justin Bieber and Conor McGregor, what's going on with that? Some TMZ video. How did you hear about that, Katie?
I heard of it from TMZ, obviously, mm-hmm. Twitter. But Nate Diaz isn't a fan of Justin Bieber, and Justin Bieber isn't a fan of him. So Bieber has thrown his support behind Conor McGregor, obviously, and he would love to walk out with Conor McGregor to the octagon. So do you think that's a good idea on Conor McGregor's part if this actually became a serious thing? Because he said that he would let Justin Bieber do it, but they didn't actually write a contract about it. Or do you think it would give him a bad look to have Bieber walking beside him?
Okay, I think we all know the answer to this. Don't do it, Conor. Okay, don't do it. It's not going to be a good look for you. You know, the best thing that's going to come out of it, I don't even know if this is going to be the best thing, but Justin Bieber might just sing Sorry on the sideline as he's, like, coming out with you. I don't even know, but just don't do it. Justin Bieber, Conor McGregor, no. I don't think it's a good mesh. If he does that, Conor McGregor may go down a few points.
He might get tainted. He might start losing all the time. You know, but at the same time, Justin Bieber is part of the money team with Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, okay.
So that is kind of different because it's boxing. But, you know, Justin Bieber wants the spotlight. He wants to take it away from Conor McGregor. And we can't let that happen. So
nope.
Bieber, stay with Mayweather. Do your thing over there. Do you think that the WWE can be compared to the UFC, since we're talking about that?
Well, no. I don't.
No.
No. So WWE, UFC, obviously, big differences. WWE, don't go full out hitting people, punching people in the face. UFC is just bloodbath. Like, you just see these guys bleeding all over the map, bleeding on their faces, out for 6 months because of this and that. And I'm not saying WWE is, like, you know, these guys are athletes, obviously, but it's
more
fake.
Scripted. Yeah,
it's fake. It's obviously scripted. You just come down to it.
Yeah, because when I'm watching, whenever I watch WWE, I'm thinking, like, does the opponent know right now that they have to lose? Like, do they have to fight in a way that shows them progressing and then lose? It's just like, how do they think of these things?
Well, actually, from what I hear, John Cena, whenever he had opponents next to him, he would tell them what move to do next on him, and basically they would kind of go from there. So he would literally whisper in their ear, or however, I'm sure he's been caught saying that, and they would do the move there. So while I am talking on John Cena, I do have to ask you, Katie, what is his deal? He is with Nikki Bella, and they are a beautiful power couple. Why doesn't he want to have kids with Nikki Bella?
Well, it could be because he doesn't want to have to pay for those children or have them grow up in his spotlight, because he doesn't think anyone else can overcome what he is, John Cena. Like, when you hear his theme song, you instantly think of that prank call that goes around on the radio, and it's like, doo, 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 doo.
Oh, I know that one.
His music. So, I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't want to have kids, because I feel like it would be better to have a kid, at least just one, so it can carry on his name.
John Cena Jr.
Exactly.
Come on now.
But maybe he just doesn't want kids because he doesn't want to actually settle down. Like, if he marries someone, he wants to feel free to divorce and not have those child support payments coming out of his... I don't know. Why do you think he doesn't want to have kids?
It's only John Cena knows.
So true.
But he now wants to get married, which is a step up. Because before, he did not want to do that.
Yeah, which is very true. Because he's together with one of the WWE divas, Nikki Bella. And she wants to have kids, and she wants to get married, but he's opposed to having kids, but now he wants to be like, okay, we can get married, if that will make you happy. So I feel like he just wants to get married now because he wants to make her happy, which is a step up, and a step in the right direction. But it might be because he sees the way people look at Nikki Bella, too. And he's like, I'm going to wipe that. Take a page out of Beyonce's book and put a ring on it.
Well, if any of you watch the show Total Divas, which we do, Dolph put the moves on Nikki Bella a couple of weeks ago. And John Cena, I don't know, maybe he just pretended to not be too upset about it. But he played it off well. Mm-hmm. But if someone said that to me, just played it off like, you still got it, I don't know what I'd think of that.
I would be upset. I would want my man to be like, he pulled moves on you. Okay, I'm going to have words with him.
Yeah.
But John Cena's very calm and collected. He likes to take it all in the ring. Plus, when he did that, Dolph was his tag team partner.
For sure.
So it would make it complicated. I feel like John Cena just doesn't want the controversy and the fighting and anything like that.
He's definitely a professional. Comes across like that on the show, and obviously he's very successful in what he does. Now, let's talk about the most recent episodes and our Canadian lady, Rosa.
Yes.
She is pregnant now, and one of the things I like about her is that she's trying to make herself... The way she worded it on the show was useful, because she's pregnant. She wanted to kind of be a correspondent and try her hit at that. So what do you think? You know, she's obviously not wrestling anymore. Do you think she's still relevant?
I feel like people have forgot about Rosa, for sure. She's not in any storylines anymore. I don't even remember who she was wrestling with before she got pregnant. So now she's just on WWE Divas show, as like a reality star personality, just being pregnant and talking about the struggles it is to be pregnant and still working, which I think is awesome for her to like show woman empowerment by still working while she's so pregnant. But she is in danger. She's in the WWE building, like a scripted fight could break out at any time, so you never know.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you one thing. She definitely was eating a lot on that show. I think we saw her eating three plates
and everyone even was like, oh, more food. But she even says, she's like, I've had to take care of my body this long because I'm a professional wrestler, like I want to eat now, so I'm gonna do it. So good for her.
For sure.
Eat all the cake you want, just watch out for the diabetes test for your kids.
Yes, definitely. And make sure your man is not putting on any more weight, because he's already put on 20 pounds, as he mentioned in the show.
Yeah, so crazy, because they showed pictures of him before. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and what do you think about him installing cameras watching her? That's, I'm not going to lie to you, that would creep me out.
Well, her boyfriend said that he installed cameras for the baby, when the baby comes. He installed cameras around the house, but there was a camera in the kitchen. So Rosa thought it was to catch her eating, But that's her guilty conscience, I think. I don't think he personally, like, put the camera there and was like, I'm going to watch my, like, girl eat all the food in the kitchen, watch what she's eat, count her calories for her. I think it was very premature of him to put a camera there.
For sure.
But I think it might have been scripted, you know, for the reality show.
Maybe.
But if that happened to me, I would feel so insecure. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go in the kitchen, eat a carrot, and then put the rest of the food under my shirt, go eat it somewhere else.
Yeah, I think I probably would have done what Rosa did and just brought some more people over and just had a bunch of cake and just eat right in front of the camera, literally, and be basically eating everything in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So let's talk about another thing, another relationship, and that's Natty and TJ. And I think they're so cute. I'm not going to lie to you. But what do you think about the woman taking on the last name of the guy?
Well, personally, I am going to hyphenate my name because everyone knows me as Katie Scott. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would be weird to have, like, Katie something else, just something totally random, you know what I mean? Like, there still always has to be Scott there. But in Natty's situation, I would have made TJ take my last name because she's more famous than him. Her name's been in the wrestling game for years because of her uncle and her dad. They were both in WWE, very successful wrestlers. So if the female is more famous than the male, they definitely need to take their name.
Yeah.
Or hyphenate it.
Yeah. No, I definitely think the times have changed. And I know myself personally, if I ever got to that position where I would get married, I definitely would get it hyphenated. Definitely couldn't drop my last name. Another talk of the town subject on the last episode was Paige and her boyfriend. So they called it quits. Do you think, you know, she's kind of was cold-blooded about it as her boyfriend made her out to be?
In a way, yes, because she said yes to the engagement, and then a month, or I don't even know what the time span was, but then after, she was like, I don't want to be engaged at all. So she's playing with his heart, right? Because he's trying to plan a wedding, trying to be, like, the perfect husband for her, and then she just calls it off. So obviously, the guy's, like, self-consciously going to think, like, oh my God, she doesn't want to be with me forever. So then he's like, why am I in this relationship at all?
Yeah.
And then he probably starts to feel ways about it, and then she feels ways about it, and then they just are fighting all the time.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her boyfriend in a way.
Yeah, he seemed like a sweetheart.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's part of, I forget what band he's part of, but I just feel bad for him. But Paige doesn't seem like she wants to settle down. She's really young. She's 22.
Yeah.
So, and she's like a firecracker.
Oh, she sure is.
I don't think that she wants to settle down, so I feel bad for her boyfriend. But you can't help who you fall in love with, right?
Exactly. Going on to another sport, and that is basketball and our Toronto Raptors. So the Raptors played the Bulls yesterday. Can you give me the scoop on that, Katie?
Well, we can just say that the most entertaining part of that game was Drake in his green jacket. It looked like he was bad-mouthing some of the players on the Chicago Bulls from the sidelines whenever they got close. He looked like he was saying something to them, and they'd turn around and look at Drake, but you never really know what was actually said. But the Chicago Bulls hung on in the fourth quarter to beat the Toronto Raptors 109-107 Monday night at the ACC, finishing a 4-0 season series sweep. Jimmy Butler stripped the ball from DeMar DeRozan with less than 1 second remaining to seal the victory. The Raptors seem to be winning by a little or losing by a lot lately, especially against the Heat.
I wanted to ask you, are there any injured players on the Raptors right now?
Well, Damari Carroll, he is injured right now with a knee injury, and he's targeting a late March return to the Raptors lineup. This means he should be cleared to practice soon and start playing games in 2 weeks. Depending on how far along your fantasy playoffs are, it makes sense to stash Carroll if you're targeting three-pointers and steals.
What happened when the Raptors played Miami this weekend?
The Raptors won in overtime, which was very scary because overtime gives everyone heart attacks, especially me. I can't stand it. I just wish that wouldn't happen ever. But DeRozan did miss three free throws. So hard to say that. Anyone try to say that, it's hard. But he also got 38 points and 10 rebounds and 7 assists. And then Joe Johnson had 28 points, while Lil Dang added 20 for the Heat. But they have lost 5 of their last 6 games against Toronto, including the last one that I went to in January, and it sucked. But Dang tied this weekend's game at 97 on a 3-pointer from the corner with 3.1 seconds remaining. And DeRozan's jumper before the buzzer went in and out. In overtime, the teams traded scores until 5 straight trips to the free throw line, 4 just for DeRozan and 1 for Bismack Biyombo, which allowed the Raptors to score 7 points to take 109-101 lead with 42 seconds to play. Johnson's 3-pointer closed the gap to 6 points, but a pair of free throws from Corey Joseph allowed Toronto to close out the game. Miami was just 3-for-15 in overtime, but Dwayne Wade didn't play on Saturday due to a thigh injury, which seems ridiculous, but he can't be expected to carry the team all the time. I've loved Miami since back in the day when Udonis Haslem started playing for them. And I went to a Miami playoff game a few years ago and witnessed Chris Bosh, Wade, and LeBron all play together for the last time. And it was a game against the Brooklyn Nets. But at this point, Miami has disappointed me a lot. And I'm considering, you know, maybe switching it over to the Sixth side, becoming a Raptors fan.
Uh-oh. They're doing pretty good.
They are.
So I have to ask you, what's your favorite basketball player?
When I was younger, I loved Allen Iverson just because I thought he was so, like, badass. Just Iverson, he couldn't even come to Canada for a few games against the Raptors because they wouldn't let him in. But I feel like now it's Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, isn't he, like, kind of the good boy?
He's the best boy.
Yeah.
He's the best. He's a robot, even like Kevin Hart said. Like, the man can make a shot from anywhere. Just give him a basketball net and he can get it in.
Yeah, I don't know much about Steph Curry, but I do know he just seems very genuine and sweet whenever he does have those interviews. He kind of grew up in that basketball family with his father. And I do love the fact that I remember last year at the press conferences, I believe he had his daughter there.
Exactly.
And that was so cute.
That makes him so much more likable. And he has like the whole wife factor too, him and his wife and his daughter. Well, his kids now. It's just like that makes him so much more likable, so much more human being other than just a basketball player.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And he's doing amazing.
Well, that concludes our show for today. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. I know I sure did.
It's been a lot of fun. You guys can hear us again next week. Every Tuesday, we're going to record this for you, so we're going to bless your ears.
Sports and Wine with Martha and Katie, except we can't drink the wine, but we do taste test it beforehand and let you know about it, okay? Sports and Wine with Martha and Katie. Have a good week, folks.
Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cutter, she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose a club going up.